This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. I guarantee you, after you listen to our guest today, you will be having a great day. One of my favorite things to do, and I love it that I have the ability to do this because it's my own show, is when I get to bring back a guest who really sort of affected me profoundly. And I know if that happened, they probably that he affected you profoundly as well. And today we have brought back S.L. Young. Hey, Sly, how you doing?
Hey, Lisa, how are you?
I am so happy because I get to talk to you again.
Oh, I'm happy because I get to talk to you. I just have to say, the first time we spoke was one of my favorite interviews, and I just listened to it recently. Man, I love that conversation.
Oh, good, good. Well, I know we're going to have one just as good, because one of the things that I really appreciate about you, Sly, is that you are not afraid to speak your mind.
No.
That is one of my favorite things about you. And, you know, now you guys got to understand, Sly goes by three names. I've called him Sly or Stacy or SL. So he's known by many, many names. And he's an author and a radio host and a speaker and a mover and a shaker and a life changer is what you got to know about Sly. And just really quickly, we will have this up on our website, but it's slyoung.com. That's still the best place to get a hold of you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now tell them a little bit about how your journey into this whole media frenzy that you're doing now, because you're speaking, you're writing, you're radio, you're everywhere. So how did that all start for you?
Well, two quick stories. One is about my educational journey. Sometimes when we have setbacks in life, those are setups for success if we push through. And so in the 10th grade, I was directed to leave high school after failing 6 out of 7 classes and missing over a third of the school year and doing drugs. And they said, get out. Mm. But fortunately, my mom said, it's your life. It's your choice. You make a decision right now. And that was the best thing that she could have ever done, because she put accountability and responsibility squarely on those young shoulders. And that influenced everything else that happened to me. So that's story number one.
Mm-hmm.
Story number two is that in March of 2014, after working as a project manager managing multi-million dollar projects with hundreds of people, I was working with some unethical people, and I refused to do this, to be unethical multiple times in several organizations. And I said, this is not me, and I refused to do this. So I walked away thinking that I was doing the right thing, still knowing that I was doing the right thing. But it led to hard times, loss of income. And then in March of 2014, unfortunately, I almost ended my life. I didn't plan it. I woke up that day. It was in the room. But the best thing that happened is, even though I was moments from ending my life, when I got up to go help someone else, go help some guys at the jail, that was the day that I began to reclaim my life. And now it's become an amazing life. Life and success isn't about material wealth, but it's about contributions and values that we add so that we give back to others.
And when you were getting ready to write your first book, what was the catalyst for that?
Well, that actually happened after my final incident in a corporation with someone who was a workplace bully that was coming after me. And after everything else that had happened, I was like, well, what's wrong with me? So I started turning on the inside and saying, something must be wrong with me, because I try to be a good person and bad things keep happening to me. And so as I was trying to work through that and figure out how to move forward, I started writing, surprisingly, inspirational quotes.
Hmm.
And when I wrote the first two books, that was sort of when this realization that there was something more. And that came in two forms of validation. One was after I wrote the second book in the It's a Crazy World, Learn From It series.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the shower, just sort of minding my own business, doing my own thing. And then all of a sudden, I heard this voice that was so strong, but it felt like it was coming from miles and miles away, like it was a whisper on the wind. And it said, you went away, I've always been here. And that affected me immensely. And the second thing was, friends and family, as I was starting to share these books, what they said to me was, you need to take these books into the jails. And this was in 2012. Mm-hmm. I would write two more books in the series, and then in October of 2013, I think it was, I went into the jail for the first time. And that is the place that I now find some of my greatest happiness, not only inside the jail, but even outside of the jail, when I run across these guys and gals, when they're out and they say, hey, what you said to me made a difference and it's helping to redefine my life.
Now, is that same program in other states too? I mean,
speak it into existence.
I know, because I'm saying that would, like, that's pretty, what is the name of the program?
Well, so my organization is called Saving Our Communities at Risk Through Educational Services. That's the long name. The short name is Socrates, and folks can learn more at socrates.org. And basically what I do is I teach these individuals about overcoming challenges. We talk about life skills through inspirational quotes. We read my quotes and we talk about what does it mean, because that helps them to work through critical thinking and thinking about life choices. I also have a soft skills class where I teach communication, negotiation, time management, critical thinking, thick skin, and belief, one of the most powerful things that we have. And then the last part of the course right now is introduction to business. So I do an introduction to business overview. And then coming up soon, I'm getting ready to put in a proposal, I'm going to do a broadcast class, because it's very important that these guys know about the importance of raising their own voices and letting their voices be heard.
Oh, all right. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Yes.
Because that is, yay. Oh, I love that you're doing that. You know, I'm going to take some of this, because there is somebody that I know that I'm like, I want to say, why aren't we doing this here? Or are we doing this here? And I just don't know about it. So bless you for doing that and raising the energy of people who might be feeling pretty low.
Let me just say this really quickly. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for planting the seed for me, because I already have some seed planted, because I have my ideas of making this bigger than what it is right now, because it's local here in the Arlington, Virginia area, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to expand a little bit further. But what you've done is an important thing, because what you said was, one, I validate you, but I also identify the significance of your work, that I'm going to plant a seed for you right now, that what I see is bigger than what you see for yourself, potentially.
I got goosebumps.
You did it. You planted it.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Can we just, for a minute here, can we talk about your mom for a minute?
Sure.
Because, you love your mom, and she's just an amazing woman. Didn't she recently, did she have a birthday?
She recently had her 91st birthday, and she unfortunately had a fall about 8 weeks ago where she broke 3 bones. And it's been a challenge, but she's a strong woman. And through our challenges collectively, mm-hmm. I've determined where I get my strength, and it's from her.
You know, and I love a little bit, we were talking before, or maybe this was on Facebook, about how you used your intuition to understand what kind of care your mom needed. Could you speak on that a little?
Yeah, absolutely. Too many times we get into situations where we're trusting the people who are supposedly the most knowledgeable about somebody's care. And what I did was, in my mom's particular situation, is they kept trying to tell me that she needed to have a blood transfusion. And blood transfusions, yes, they're pretty safe in this day and age, but nothing is fail-proof. Mm-hmm. And so what I listened to was my inner voice that told me to wait. And they tried to give my mom a blood transfusion 3 to 5 different times over a small period of time. And something inside of me said, trust your gut and just wait. And so what I ended up doing was waiting. And it turned out that she was dehydrated. She needed some more iron. Mm-hmm. And they should have known this in the hospital, but I trusted my gut. But what I use is, and this is a little tool that I teach all of my students, it's what I call Sly's heuristic, or rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. And that is, listen to your brain, trust your heart. I'm sorry. Oh, I messed it up. Listen to your brain. I got all caught up in the moment, but I'm going to get it. So listen to your brain.
Got it.
Don't get too emotional about things by listening to your heart, but trust your gut.
There it is.
I got a little tripped up about it. But the thing is, a lot of times when we trust our gut, it is the thing that will guide us to where we need to be.
Yeah, that was just, I love stories like that when people trust that and it turns out to be the area or the way you were supposed to go in the first place. You wouldn't be having these inclinations or these feelings if you weren't supposed to be paying attention to them.
Absolutely. And what I have learned is to listen to and pay attention to the signs. And signs can come to us in a lot of different ways. So sometimes I'm thinking about something, and then all of a sudden I'll walk into a room, and on the TV, they're talking about something that I was just thinking about. I take that as a sign.
Yeah.
So we have to be open and ready to receive opportunities wherever they come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
positive ones. I want to clarify.
Yeah. Positive ones. Well, you know, Sly and I are Facebook friends, and I look at his Facebook. He looks at mine. We kind of, you know, keep up on what's going on. And you know, recently you told a story about something that occurred when you were in an ATM. And I was wondering if you would be willing to share that story.
Yeah. I mean, the story is simply being Black in America. Not everyone understands the challenges of being Black in America. And walking down the street, I was just walking slowly, trying to enjoy the afternoon, and a woman saw me. She happened to be a white woman, and she was going into an ATM. It was one of those that you have to put your card in order to get in the door. But as she saw me, and there was nothing, I didn't think, threatening about me, maybe because I'm tall, but she grabbed the door, and she pulled it and made sure, as she was watching me, we locked eyes, and she pulled it and closed it, and I was like, really? And I sort of laughed at it. And in some ways, I wanted to say something, but I was like, well, what am I going to actually get out of confronting her right now? But then at the same time, I thought about, you know what? The amazing thing is, she must not think that Black men have ATM cards. Because if she opened the door with her ATM card, I could probably do the same thing. And I think that that was the funny part of it. But when you don't understand the Black experience, you don't understand the little things that can happen, but it doesn't only happen just in that particular case where you have someone of another race. It actually happens within the Black community as well, and sometimes within the Black community, we don't like to address it. One of the things that happened to me recently, someone called me a wannabe, and I knew exactly what that meant, but for your audience, a wannabe, when somebody says that to a Black person, or they might call them an Uncle Tom, but what they call them is a wannabe to say you want to be white. And I don't want to be anything but who I am. I want to be a positive, inspirational, thoughtful person who's aspirational, that's working towards his goals and dreams that hopefully will help other people along the way. That's what I want to be. If you want to call me anything, call me by my proper reference.
Wow. I didn't even know that existed. I mean, I had heard of an Uncle Tom before, but I'd never heard of a wannabe.
Oh, there's a lot of things. And another term that's used in the Black community is crabs in the barrel. And if you're not familiar with that term, are you by chance?
No.
Okay, so crabs in the barrel is the thought that if there's a bunch of crabs in the barrel, if one of them tries to get out, the crabs that are remaining will reach up and bring the other one back down. And sort of that wannabe comment is similar to that, because it's saying you think that you're better than us, and we're going to bring you back down a notch.
Wow. That I had not heard of. Wow. And what's really interesting is after I read that story on your Facebook page, I just so happened later on that day to go to an ATM. And I was at an ATM, but this one was open and there were two ATMs side by side. And I'm up there getting my money. And this Black gentleman walked around the corner. And it was interesting because he stopped and he didn't go up to the other ATM. And I turned over and I said, hi, how you doing? And he goes, oh, hi. And I said, go ahead. And it was interesting that he didn't want to walk up next to me. I don't know. Maybe he thought I'd have a reaction or whatever. But as soon as I talked and said hello to him, he came up. And I thought to myself, wow, is that sad that maybe he thought I would feel safer if he was standing over there rather than right next to me at an ATM because of the color of his skin?
It happens all the time, unfortunately. And one thing I just want to go back to really quickly, because I messed up my own little thing, my reference point.
Yeah.
But it's think with your head, listen to your heart, trust your gut. Sometimes we overthink it. Sometimes we become too emotional about it. But what I have found is when we listen to that little something, when we get it in our stomach, like something's there. There's something there. And it applies to this situation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because in these situations, when it happens, I could overthink it and make it bigger than what it was. Because maybe it wasn't what I thought it was. Maybe it was something else. But if I become emotional about it, then what happens is I get into a confrontation that might not end too well. But if I trust my gut, and that's what I use as my point of reference, that look that I saw was a look that I've seen before. Mm-hmm. And that's where I have that experiential knowledge that I understand what it is, and I don't analyze it too much, and I don't get too emotional about it. I trust my gut. I know what it is. And I say, you know what? That's the sad reality of the world that we live in. But the reason that I have these conversations openly and honestly, not just with folks like you, but on my show as well, mm-hmm. is because I want folks to realize that just because things are uncomfortable, it does not mean that we can't talk about it. And we learn from sharing these real lived experiences in open and honest ways that makes all of us better.
Hmm. Love that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw this on your page or something. Did you write curiosity is like a fire hydrant?
I did. I hope you have the quote because I write so much stuff I can't remember. But yes, I did.
For whatever reason, when I read that, it made me laugh. And so is there any way we can expand on curiosity is like a fire hydrant?
Well, I think I was just saying curiosity is like a fire hydrant because as you start to explore, and this is loosely paraphrased, obviously,
sure.
is that you start to let out a little bit more. And depending on how much you want to explore or to know, you can control the volume. That's what the right. reference was. But I'm going to give you a reference that sort of ties to the conversation that we have because okay. this is one that I did prepare. And this is a quote from my It's a Crazy World Learn From It series, part 4. And a lot of us go through challenging times. And this is something that I have posted next to my computer. And every once in a while, I have to look at it, you know, just to remind myself. And the quote is, darkness fuels the light. Your darkest days don't define you, but instead provide an opportunity for you to display your strength and character, which will ultimately drive the individual you become. And that is all about choice. Hmm. When we have challenging things and times, we always have decision points. And the decisions that we make in those moments not only impact us, but it impacts our future direction, but it also impacts those around us because we are all exchanging energy every day. So use that dark energy. Sometimes we have dark energy that we have to leverage to get past that particular moment to figure out how do we illuminate the light to light our path so that we can move forward into the future.
Yeah, and a lot of times people don't want to look at the dark stuff.
And that's the thing that holds us in the darkness longer. Because when we fail to deal with our situations, it continues to haunt us a lot longer. So think about my situation when I almost ended my life. If I would have stayed in that dark room, in that dark space, even inside of my mind, I would have never have achieved because the things that have happened to me over the last 4 years, if somebody would say, this is all the things that happened to someone over the, or will happen to someone over the next 4 years, even if they were talking about me, I would say, you must be like on some type of something because there's no way that all these things can happen. But I'm living proof that by taking positive steps forward and believing in yourself, amazing things can happen because since the last time that we spoke, and I really appreciate you, and I need to just take a moment. I really appreciate the fact that you allowed yourself to connect with me back in 2013 because that was before any of this stuff was happening. This was early in my journey. Nobody knew who I was, but for some reason you said, there's something about this man. I want to take a chance and have a conversation. And that was life-changing for me because I think you were the first interview that I did. And by you believing me just that much, that allowed me to believe in myself to have all these other opportunities. And since that time, I've, as you said earlier, I've become a radio host. I'm an inspirational speaker. I teach inmates. I'm a keynote speaker. I teach at 2 colleges now. I've written 14 books, 13 or 14. I'm working on the next one now. And I have bigger dreams. I'm thinking about movies now. But all of those things happen when you connect with good people who open the door just a little bit. My mentor, Maggie Linton, one of the things that I loved about her, because she gave me my first commercial break on Sirius XM. And the thing that I always remember from that experience, and the same with you, is it's people or angels or spirits or positive lights who open the door just a little bit for others to have the strength to push the door open for themselves and walk through. And for that, I thank you.
Aw, thank you. That touches my soul. I'm all mushy now. Like, oh, I love that. It reminds me, too, of there was a producer that I had early on when I was in radio, and he used to come up to me and he'd say, "You're bigger than you even know." And I always wondered, what is he talking about? You know, I was just, and he would just always tell me that, "You're bigger than you even know." And so I say that to you. We say that to everybody. And now everybody listening, you are bigger than you even know. There is so much more that you can do. And I hope that, you know, Sly's words and my words can help inspire you. I hope you go. And if you need a little help or you want to hold something like a book, get one of Sly's books and hold it and just really absorb all the information. Because even if you are in the dark right now, as Sly talked about, it's okay that you're there. Acknowledge it, recognize it, and move through it.
And I just need to ask something because you made me a little mushy for just a moment and gushy almost. And so one of the things that you said is really important about my journey, because the thing that I do is I write about my journey very openly and honestly. A lot of folks wouldn't be willing to share all the dark things that I've shared, but I knew for some reason that I needed to do it. And it's because I have God in my life. And one of the things that God said to me early in my journey, and I had to believe it, is he said, "This is going to be bigger than you ever imagined. It's going to be bigger than you ever imagined. It's already bigger than I ever imagined." And one of the incredible things that happens when we walk in faith, whether that's faith in God or something bigger than ourselves, is that amazing things happen. And it's interesting the timing that we're having this conversation. I want to share something with you that I haven't even shared with a lot of people yet. So you're getting an inside scoop.
Ooh, what is it?
This Thursday, so, you know, this, well, it's a couple of days from now, I'll say, I will be offering a class at Marymount University that I never could have imagined. And this class is based on my life and everything that I've gone through. And the class is Developing Foundational Strengths and Success Tools. Never could I have imagined when I was fighting for my life in March of 2014, when I had been beaten down so much that I didn't believe that I had any worth or any value, because that was the reason that I was going to end my life, because unethical workplace bullies beat me down.
Right.
Never could I have imagined that a little over 4 years later that I would be teaching a class at a university, now teaching incoming freshmen about developing their own strength. And that is the power of belief and positive thinking and attitudes. No matter what's going on, take a step and believe that it's possible.
Congratulations on that. That is fantastic. I am so proud of you, and I'm even going to be more proud of you if you still agree to play the RL3, which is three silly, goofy questions that we get to ask you at the Are you in? Okay. Yeah. So the thing is, we found out what your fantasy name was last time. It was like Kitty Brooklyn or something like that. It was a funny name. So here's your first question. What was your favorite childhood meal?
Spaghetti, easy.
Oh, easy. Okay, spaghetti. I would have mac and cheese, but spaghetti's right up there. What piece of clothing will you wear until it literally falls apart?
Everything. No, mainly, and don't come inside my bedroom, my PJs.
The PJs, go ahead. Yeah, okay.
You know, they're warm and fuzzy, and it's like you get used to it when I wear them. I'm not here to say that part out loud. But.
All right, and here is your third and final thing. Instead of doing fantasy name, I have, what's your unicorn name? So here we go. So we look for S right there. Okay, and what month were you born in?
March.
Okay. You, sir, are Peaches McFabulous. your unicorn name is Peaches McFabulous.
And I like the McFabulous.
You know?
I don't know about the peaches part. But the only thing is, I'll say I love peach cobbler.
Well, there we go. Well, listen, McFabulous, I am so grateful that you joined us again here. And remember, everybody, you can just go to slyoung.com. Plus, we'll have that link on our site. And I wish you much love and continued success, Sly.
Well, thank you very much. And one last thing, I need to have you on my show, too. So when you're ready, let me know, and I'll get you on my show, because I always love having a conversation. You're a positive force, you're a positive light, and you help guide others to have better lives.
We're going to make it happen, mister. Thank you
Sounds
so
good.
Much.
Thank you.